Job, and I want you to look at a few things. I'll be in several places, but we've got plenty of time to preach. By the way, one last Sunday night, a blessing under the old tabernacle. I appreciate the work that everybody did, and it's a lot that goes into those meetings, and I'm thankful that we can get together like that. I don't want church to become monotony. I don't want it to become boring. I don't want it to become something that we check off the bucket list. When we get here, I want hearts to be hungry and needs to be met. So I asked you this morning, if you would turn in the book of Job, chapter number 1. I want you to look at this Bible character. Father, we bless you. We thank you. I pray you'd let me be a blessing to the people of God through thy word this morning. Thank you for the songs, the encouraging faces of the people this morning, how you've uplifted and helped me. Thank you for these little ones. Lord, we're grateful to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Let's stand for the honor and the reading of the Word of God today, found in the book of Job, chapter number 1, and verse number 1. The Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says, there was a man. He was not inhuman. He was not bulletproof. But yet he was simply a man. Within a man is a body that is robed with flesh. Inside of man, there is a soul and there is a spirit. And within this man called Job, the Bible says that he was perfect. Watch this, upright. And he done something that is fastly leaving our nation. He feared God and eschewed evil. He had a great substance. Then in verse number 6, now there was a day on his calendar in his life. There came a day. And the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Many Bible scholars relate to this as the angels of God, the supreme ones. But I'm just going to take what the Word of God says, that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and look who showed up. Satan came also among them. He's a sneaky devil, conniving devil. Matter of fact, you can be seated this morning. Matter of fact, he done filled my head full this morning about what's already happened. It come to my mind that the devil is a liar and the father of it. So we see that Job is a man. You know, before this sermon begins, I want you to realize we're all very human. We all have capabilities to sin. We have capabilities to do wrong and to do right. We are human. There was one that was perfect. He hung on the cross. His name was Jesus. And by the way, he died for your sin and my sin. And so now God is having a meeting with the powers. And Satan presents himself. And the Lord said to him, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, watch where he's been. And he ain't stopped that neither. From going to and fro in the earth. And from walking up and down in it. Up and down in it. Satan walks in some low places. Satan climbs to some high places. Up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, now I want to ask you something, devil. Have you considered my servant Job? He said, you know, I know you've been around and you've been to many houses throughout the land. And I want to ask you something, devil. Have you considered my servant Job? That's an amazing statement to me. And so this is what God said. He said, by the way, devil, there's none like him in the earth. It'd do us good to know about Job in our Bible. He's perfect and an upright man. Let me tell you something. Even though you're human, you can walk upright. You don't always have to walk upside down. There's capabilities through the power of God to allow you and I to walk upright. And he says, one that fears God and eschews evil. And so Satan answered the Lord. And this is what he said. Verse 9. It's very important to this sermon. Doth Job fear God for naught? In other words, let me tell you, God, why Job is serving you for what he's getting out of you. He's serving you because of the benefits. I want to ask you something this morning. When the benefits stop, will you still serve him? So the devil throws it up in the face of God. He says, I can tell you why he's serving you for what he's getting out of you. And so God does something. He said in verse 10, the devil, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house? You better thank the Lord if you're not going through troubles and trials today. You ought to wave your little hand toward heaven and thank God for the hedge that he's had about you. Honey, it's no accident you got here this morning. It was the good grace of God that has guarded you and the mercies of God that seen about us when we was laying in our bed last night. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, watch this, and about all that he hath? On every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands. Time out. The reason you're blessed today is because God has blessed you. Job's hands did nothing without the blessing of God. You may think that you're highly equipped today. You may have gifts and personalities. You may have strengths that nobody else possesses, but don't you forget what this old country preacher's going to tell you this morning. Without the Lord, you can do nothing. This is what he said. He says, you've put a hedge on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, it's an amazing thing what he says, behold, all that he hath is in thine power. That's a scary verse right there. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know the rest of chapter 8. Job experienced several experiences that came. He lost his cattle, his oxen. He lost his houses. He lost all of his children. And in verse 22, look what Job does. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I want to preach this morning on the ministry of suffering. And before I get started today, I want this to firebrand your heart. When hard things come, don't charge God foolishly. Now, I want you to turn to a chapter that's very impactful, and I'm going to say a few things and be done preaching. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Turn with me now to Job chapter 23. We find him over and on the backside of these trials. Could you imagine being Job? There was nobody like him. He feared God. He walked uprightly. God said there was none like him. Could you imagine one day that all of a sudden a wind came and destroyed everything that you had and destroyed your children? Could you imagine that you woke up one morning, seemed like you had everything, but the next morning you woke up, you'd lost everything? So, Job never charged God foolishly. Now, we pick him up in chapter 23. And this is my heart this morning. I want you to look where Job got with his complaint. You know, we're human. I hear people saying this a lot of times. Man, you just need to move on through that. But you know, I've noticed in my life and pastoring people, there are things that you cannot move away from. I would love to tell you within this plate today, I could pull you out a formula that would fix your trial. But I'm going to tell you, you'll notice in the pathway of life, there are some things that are going to come for a purpose. And I want you to look how Job, how deep mentally that he gets, how crushed in his heart that he is. I started to ask this, and in my quiet time this morning, I started to have you to do this. Maybe I'm only preaching to 5 people this morning. Maybe I'm preaching to 40 people, but I started to do this. Anybody that is suffering would bow your head and raise your hand. That's how personal I want this sermon to be to you today. I would love to tell you, because you love God and you're faithful to Him and His church and even to your family, that nothing will ever happen, but that's not in the Bible. But let me tell you what's in the Bible. God will go with you. Now watch what he says. Job 23, Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning." You know what he's saying? I'm hurting, and I'm hurting deep. Is there anybody here this morning hurting deep? Watch this. You ever pray and feel like your prayers aren't going above the ceiling? "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Let me tell you where I found him. This is where I've got one on my truck seat. I've got one in hand reach every place in my life. You know why? The moments I need to find him. Now watch your Bible. He said, "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." In other words, he says, "God, you have allowed some things to happen to me and my family that I don't agree with. God, if I could find you and talk to you, Lord, I really do need to talk with you." So now the Bible goes from here. He said, "I would know the words which he would answer me and understand that he would say unto me, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me." He said, "Lord, if I could just find you, I know you can put something in me." Then he says this, "There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. I can't find him. On the left hand where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. He hath himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Verse 10. Underline this. And if you write in your Bible, put a star out by verse 10 right here. Because this is very impactful. But he knoweth the way I take. It wouldn't. He hath tried me. I shall come forth as gold. Shall come forth. This too shall get easier. This too shall pass. But until then, God is doing something in our lives. Look what he says. But he knoweth the way that I take. Sometimes I don't know, but I come to tell you about somebody that does know about you this morning. The Lord knows. Now, look in verse 11. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Have you ever got to a place in your life when you needed a word from the Lord? You needed him to do something for you more than you did your supper? But he is, verse 13, in one mind. Who can turn him, and what his soul does desireth, even that he doeth? For he performeth the thing that is appointed. Watch this. Not to me, but for me. He's through this trial, Job. I'm doing something for you. Then he says this. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I'm afraid of him. Watch verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. This morning on the ministry of suffering, I asked you this. Why do God's people suffer? Some of the greatest Christians I've ever met in my life. Many days, many hours they suffered. Why does God allow suffering? Why would a man like Job experience what he experienced? I'll bring it down to Liberty Baptist Church. Why does as good a people that's in this place this morning suffer things? God allows things, but... And I want to say something. A lot of times in our decision making, we bring our troubles. And there's times that even in my wrong decisions and troubles come, I've got a verse to share with you. Romans 8 and 28. See, God is sovereign. God works everything out according to His will and His good pleasure. Romans 8 and 28, you've heard this a lot, and I want to share it with you. Romans 8 and 28. For the Bible says, for we know that all things, now let's time out, some things, few things. No, we know that all things, watch, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Verse 29 is left out a lot. For whom He did foreknow, the foreknowledge of God, God has never wondered who would be saved. God's always known who would be saved. Man has responsibility. You listen, this preacher. If you die and go to hell, you'll go as an intruder because Christ died for you. For whom He did foreknow, watch what He does. He also did predestinate them. All right, what does he predestinate them to be? He predestinates them to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's never predestined nobody to heaven or hell. But I tell you what, he has predestined those that are saved to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You know what your trial will do in your life? It'll make you more like Jesus than anything that can accomplish that in your life. You say, preacher, you really believe that? Well, let's watch this about why people suffer. Number one, why we suffer. I want to say, first of all, we suffer many times so God can silence Satan. You know, Satan said, Job serves you because of his stuff. I want to be a Satan silencer. You know, a lot of times we suffer and God gets the glory and the victory and he allows these things to happen with people so that he can simply silence Satan. You wouldn't believe the people heard when I got saved, called a priest, said that'd wear off after a while. He'd get over that. He's going to smoke one too many. He's tripping right now. You see, Satan came and he said, I'm going to tell you why Job's serving you, God. Because what you blessed him with, that's the only reason he's serving you. Not because he loves you, because of his stuff. You know, Job said something. The Lord gave. And the Lord hath taken away. But that's what he said, Brother Mike. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why do people suffer? Because suffering silences Satan. I met with a family last week. One of the greatest families I've ever met in my life. Flat of his back, a young man can't do the things that he wants to do. But he had this glow about his faith. And he said, preacher, I really don't understand things. Neither do I, but I do know that suffering is used to silence Satan. Number two, suffering enables us to glorify God. You remember Mary and Martha? They loved Jesus. And by the way, John chapter number 10 and 11 and 12, Jesus loved them too. Remember, their brother died, Lazarus. Jesus raised him out of the grave. Jesus said something to them about suffering enables us to glorify God. This is what Jesus said. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son may be glorified thereby. Suffering enables us to glorify God. See, right now in your experience, you might not be able to glorify God with what's going on. But let me tell you, when this trial is through, you're going to be able to glorify God. In other words, thank you. You can do anything. But preacher, you don't understand. I buried my loved one. Even through this process, you too will be able to glorify God. You know, why people suffer? Not only that God may put Satan to silence, not only that the Son of God would be glorified, but thirdly, suffering makes us more like the Lord Jesus than anything that can ever be brought on our life. Nobody wants to be like Jesus like that. You see, he didn't just save us for heaven and from hell. But He saved us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29. You know what Jesus's, you know what God's ambition and goal for your life and my life is this morning? That we'd all be more like Jesus. You know, I was saved in 1981. Somebody add that up. 201. How many years is that? Is that 31? What is that? Somebody talk out. You like to talk? Talk now. How many? 40. Now get to thinking about something. God saved me back over yonder as a crow flies, not many miles through that pine thicket where Renee was raised. I met her in Florida. Moved there. Got under preaching. God saved me. A few years later, God called me to preach. Now, 40 years later, I think about the trials and the sufferings and the stabbings. I've thought about all the turmoils that's hit my life. And I get to thinking, you know, God, without all of that, I couldn't be where I am today. And I've not arrived, but honey, I'm a lot closer to Jesus. I'm more like Jesus today than this flesh has ever known. Suffering accomplishes us to become more like Jesus. I've heard people say this, preacher, you don't preach like you did 30 years ago. No, I've got a little sense. I've had some mashings, some squashings. That's like some of you young boys. You can write a book, How to Raise Children. Come tell me about it when you're 60 years old. Everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of him. But you wait till you get older in life and God grants you grace and lets you get older in life. You'll see those experiences through that process has brought you to be more like Christ. That's His ambition. The flesh reacts vindictive. The flesh reacts in such a way. But He says, I've allowed these trials to conform you, to make something out of you that nothing else could ever make it out of you. Why do we suffer? Not only to silence Satan. The man on the bed of affliction the other day raised his hands, Brother Mark, with tears. And said, God has been so good to me. To silence Satan. Helps us to glorify God. It makes us more like Jesus. And then fourthly, suffering makes us appreciate the blessings of God. Suffering makes us appreciate the blessings of God. Some of you are suffering physically. Some of you are suffering emotionally. And when God allows His children to suffer, it highlights the blessings of God and makes us appreciate it. Then lastly, suffering, if it ever teaches us anything, it teaches us this. It teaches us to depend on God. Watch your Bible, one verse, Isaiah 30:15. Isaiah 30. I've never seen this verse in my Bible. It's amazing how sufferings develops a person, makes something different out of the person. What he says, Isaiah 30:15. Miss Jennifer, if you would be so kind to come and play for me this morning, this something. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of the mountain, as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. I don't like waiting, do you? Many of you have a nature like me. I've always been a type man, very goal-oriented. When things would come, I would deal with them sternly. Then I was done with it. But God will allow things to come in your life that you can't fix and you can't handle. So there comes this wait. This wait. I want to say another thing that suffering does, that it's helped me. And it's helped me, Brother Adam, to have compassion. Some of you ladies, your husband left. Some of you men, your wife left. Some of you mothers, you buried a child. But it's brought compassion to you in a way that nothing else would ever do that. Brother Larry, Miss Patsy, when I was a young preacher, and I'd see somebody with difficulties and troubles, I didn't know nothing about trouble. I'd think, you just need to move on from that and let's go. But Brother Adam, you know how it has changed me? To care. To wait. Some of you are in a great trial today. I wonder, would you take this time, come this morning?